And that's exactly what he wants to do to Laban, to Yaakov. Laban wants to do precisely the same thing to Yaakov. If he can sever the relationship between Yitzchak and Yaakov, if he can sever that relationship, if he can build a wall between Yaakov and Yitzchak, then he will have succeeded in cutting off Jewish tradition. What did he say to Yaakov? Nichsof, nichsafta lebeit avicha. You want to, you yearn and you long to go to your father's house. Why did you steal my God? Do you know what the deity of Laban is? The deity of Laban is, he sees himself as the beginning of all greatness. He's the cosmopolitan. He is the one who knows a great deal better than the generation that preceded him. Everything begins with Laban. Laban is cosmopolitan and pluralistic to the point. Look at that pasuk again. Eloheya, Bahim, it's all okay. Eloheya Avram, you want the God of Avram? Fine. Elohei Nachar, the God of Nachar? Fine. He wants to create a confusion within Klal Yisrael. On the one hand, the God of Avram, the God of Nachar, Eichat HaKad, Elohei Avim, the God of their fathers. He is creating and sowing confusion, or he wants to create that confusion in the minds of Yaakov and his family. He wants to break the relationship between Avram and Yitzchak, between Yitzchak and Yaakov. And that's why, what is he saying all of the time? What does Yaakov say all of the time? God has told me to go back where? La'avotecha ulamoladetecha, to your father's house and to your birthplace. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Avram? Lech lecha me'artzcha umi me'uladetcha umi beit avicha moledet, before beit avicha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yaakov and he tells him, go back to your father's house, go back to your roots. All of tradition is going to be based on that and that alone. You are the child of your father. And by virtue of the fact that you are the child of your father, your children are going to be your children indeed. Why do the daughters of Laban turn to Yaakov and they say, what are you talking about? We have no share in our father's house. Halo kinochriot nechshav lo. We are considered like strangers. Why do they feel themselves like strangers? That's poetic justice. The Laban who rejects his father is going to be rejected by his children. Kinochriot nechshav lo. Mida kineged mida. Poetic justice. It comes right back against him. That's why, in a sense, I never read the pasuk this way, but as I read it now, I read Lavan's response to Yaakov's great speech. Lavan's response to Yaakov's great speech. Maybe Lavan's response to the fact that his daughters, all four of them, are fleeing his house. Do you know what it means? You know what a rejection this is of Laban? Do you know what Laban now sees himself when he hears this great speech by Yaakov? Laban is a pathetic character. The one who turned his back on his father and his mother now sees his children turning their backs on him. And in a sense, he's pleading. What are you talking about? Habanim banai. They're mine. The sons are mine. The daughters are mine. Everything you see, it's all mine. It's all mine. All of a sudden, it begins to dawn upon Laban that he has made a tragic mistake. But what does he want to do? Why is Laban bikesh lakor et hakol? What is it about Laban that Laban wants to destroy everything? Jews can go through a paro, a Mitzrayim experience, and still emerge a great people. Incidentally, how many emerged as part of that great people? According to Chazal, only one-fifth emerged. 4/5 of Klal Yisrael remained in Mitzrayim, lost, assimilated, gone within the overwhelming dominance of the Egyptian society, the Egyptian experience. The ones who are able to retain their identity, the ones who don't change their names, the ones who still have what kind of a Ruvain and a Shimon and an Avram and a Yitzchak and a Yaakov, the ones who maintain that link with the entire past, they're the ones that emerge from its time. What does Lavan want to do? Lavan is the one who wants to destroy that link, that chain, that unbroken chain. He wants to break it. And he wants to sow a confusion of ideas. He wants to turn Yaakov into the great cosmopolitan. Hey, you can learn something from the God of Avram. You can learn something from the God of Nachar. You can learn something from the God of their fathers. The only one who in one pasuk, Kodesh and Chol, and what is it that Yaakov says? Yaakov says, he swears by the God who is the God of Yitzchak. And do you know what kind of a matzeva does he set up? The matzeva that he sets up is Even. What is the word Even? Av and Ben. The word Even represents the interrelationship. What are you talking about? Father and son. You destroy the relationship between Av and Ben. Then you have destroyed... You've destroyed all of Judaism. The moment that you cut yourself off, so what remains of the past? You know what remains as far as Lavan is concerned? The God of Nachar? I mean, he does mention the Zayda Nachar. Sure, he mentions the Zayda Nachar. The Zayda Nachar is, you know, maybe there are nice ideas that are part of his history, part of his background. Most probably the gods of Nachar would look very, very impressive in some kind of a museum, but it's not something that impacts on his own life. He'll decide that for himself. But he has confused everything. And he confuses everything. He remains with nothing. Klal Yisrael can live through a Mitzrayim experience. They can live through an Esav experience. They can live through a Yishmael experience. The one experience that Jews have to flee from is the Lavan experience. Because the Lavan experience is the kiss of death. Why didn't you give me the opportunity to kiss my daughters? The kiss of death is the kiss of tearing asunder the relationship between the generations, the removal of one generation from the midst. I found Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, he develops a certain idea. I want to take it a bit in a different direction. The beginning of the Seder, it says that Yaakov left his father's house. Because remember, Yaakov is the one who listens to his father and his mother, and he goes to Haran. And then he comes to the place, Vayishkav Bamokam Ahu, he went to sleep in that place. That's at the beginning of the Seder. So Rashi says, Lashon Miut, it says that he slept there. You remember when he saw the great, the vision of the Sulam Mutzavarta, the ladder going from earth to heaven, and there are angels of God going up and down the ladder. So it says, Vayishka b'makom ahu, he lay down in that place, Loshon Miut, this comes to exclude something. Bo'to makom shachav, there he lay down, Avol yud dalet shanim, sheshimesh b'beit Eiver, 14 years that he was in the house of Eiver, lo shachav b'alaylo, he didn't lie down at night, shoya osek b'torah, he studied Torah. Here what Rashi really is referring to is the idea that even though it seems from the Pesukim that Yaakov leaves home and goes immediately to Haran, it's not so. There's a 14 year gap. Where was he for those 14 years? For those 14 years he was He went to learn. Went to yeshiva. He went to the Beis Medrash of Shein Ve'Ever. Fact is that Yaakov is away from his father 22 years in the house of Lavan. He's away 14 years that were not part of the original agreement. His parents told him, and the Pasuk had said that he listened to his father and his mother, yet he goes off, instead of going straight to Aram, he goes off for 14 years and goes to Yeshiva. First of all, Chazal later say that Yosef is gone from home for how many years? 22 years, the number of years that he was in the house of Lavan. Yaakov is punished because he stayed 22 years in the house of Lavan, that one of his children is going to be gone for 22 years. What about the 14 years that he went off to Yeshiva? Why isn't he punished for that? Who told him to go there? Where's the kibbutz av? Rabbi Yankiv gives the example of a parent who sends a child to the grocery to pick something up. Bring home rice, bread, milk. And instead he goes off in yeshiva. 14 years later he comes home, here's the bread and the milk. Is that kibbutz av? Is that kibbutz av? What are you doing? What are you going to do? And furthermore, he had the greatest Rabbeim of all. Until age 15, his Rebbe was Avram. Avram died when Yaakov was 15 years old. From that time on and further, the Rambam says, Yitzchak studied Torah with Yaakov. Yitzchak studies Torah with Yaakov. So what is there that, if you have the two greatest Rebbeim in the world, what can you really learn anymore in the Beis Medrash of Shem and Eifer? Later on, it's going to say that Yosef was the great student of Yaakov. Yaakov taught him all the Torah that he learned in the house of Eifer. He taught to Yosef. Why Yosef and why not the others? So, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, he develops the idea that Avram and Yitzchak, for all intents and purposes, once they had achieved their knowledge of God, they lived an isolated existence. There was the house of Avram, and there was the rest of the world. There was the house of Yitzchak and the rest of the world. In the yeshiva of Avraham and Yitzchak, Yaakov learned pure Torah. But he did not learn how to confront the world out there. That's a completely different challenge. You can learn by Avram and Yitzchak, but when you're going to have to fend for yourself out in the world there against a loved one and against others, you're going to need a completely different kind of education. And what kind of education? Where's he going to get that education? That he can be prepared for only in the Beis Medrash of Shem and Aver. Because remember, Shem is the one who was raised during a generation that had become completely corrupt. And Shem was able to remain Shem. Do you know what strength that takes? Do you know what a unique approach it requires of an individual? To be able to remain Shem, the son of Noach, in a Dor HaMabul, in a generation of the flood? Aver is the one who lives at the time when there is rebellion against God, the Dor HaFloga, the generation of the Tower of Babel. And Aver remains absolutely firm in his beliefs. Shem and Aver represent the ability to withstand the onslaught of a civilization, a society, a street that is alien to everything you believe in. Yaakov knows that he's going off to the house of Lavan, and he's unprepared for that experience. Rabbi Yaakov says, you know where he knows that he's going to learn how to survive the experience of the house of Lavan? He has to get it from the two experts in the world in surviving in an alien environment, Hashem and Eva. That's what they're experts in. He goes to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eva, and then he's prepared. He's prepared for whatever
whatever he thinks Lavan is going to be able to throw at him. So here Rabbi Yaakov gives a beautiful mashal. Father sends a son out to buy a lulav and esrog. And the son stops in the yeshiva in order to learn the halachas of lulav and esrog. How can he go out and buy a lulav and an esrog for his father if he doesn't know what's a kosher lulav, what's a kosher esrog? Then the study, the detour that he makes on the way to buy the lulav and esrog is really part of kibud av. This is kibud av. I have to buy my father a kosher lulav and a kosher esrog, but I don't know. I don't know what they are. So I'm stopping off to learn, and then I'll buy the lulav and esrog, and I'll come home. My father, may you ask me, it took a few hours longer than I expected. Tate, it took me time until I learned, until I knew, until I was able to choose a good lulav and a good esrog. I have a feeling there's something else that he learned in the house of Shem and Aver. Shem and Aver represent the great links in tradition. Shem remains absolutely faithful to his father Noach. Aver remains faithful to all of those who preceded him. What Yaakov is going to have to learn is the ability to remain absolutely strong and related in his connection to all of the generations that come before him. Lavan's intent is to invade the thought processes of a Yaakov with that which is strange and alien. He wants to bring Chol into the Kodesh. And incidentally, he's the only one who brings two Aramaic words into all of Torah. The only one who brings Chol of that nature into all of Torah. Yegar Sahadusa. What do I need the two names for? Yaakov calls it Galed, and that's why the whole area is called Gilad. What do I care what Lavan called it? And why is it that Lavan calls it by that name? His Aramaic name. Because that's exactly what Lavan wants to do. What Lavan wants the whole to invade the Kodesh, and that ultimately the whole should so water down the Kodesh that Kodesh disappears. Elohei Avram, Elohei Nachar, ultimately Elohei Aviv, the God, everything goes. In a sense, what Lavan represents is some kind of a humanistic Western kind of Judaism, a Judaism that reflects the best of all worlds, as though Torah is not the best of all worlds. No. Torah needs also the ethics and the morality of what? Of the Western world. What does it need? What does it need? No. There are those who live with the idea, you know, pluralism. This is good, and that's good. This is Yiddishkeit, and that's Yiddishkeit. What about a Yiddishkeit that has, or a Judaism, that has cut itself off completely from all previous generations? A complete and total rupture. No. My tata was wrong. My father kept Shabbos. What are you talking about? Shabbos, Shmabbos. Drive to shul. Who cares? That's bringing Chol into the Kodesh. And ultimately, Chol overwhelms the Kodesh. There is no other pasuk like that in all of Torah. Elohei. In one pasuk. And by the way, it makes a big difference in halacha, that pasuk. Elohei Avram, he swears by the God of Avram, by the God of Nachar. Yishvetu beinenu, shall judge between us. Elohei Avim, the God of their fathers. You know what it reminds me of? I think I'd once told this to you in a completely different context, but I think the same idea is being expressed there. I once asked, what was the greatest thing that Moshe Rabbeinu ever did? I'm not asking you for answers, because I'll tell you exactly what your answers are going to be. Unless, of course, you remember the shiur that I said that. You remember the shiur. You remember. What was it? What was the greatest thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did? So, of course, the list of answers will be he took a slave people out to freedom. He sustained the people for 40 years in the desert. He brought Torah down from Sinai. I mean, all great things, don't get me wrong. All of them are great things. But that's not what Rashi says. The Rashi on the last Sedra, the Rashi on the last Pasuk, what am I talking about? Remember when I told you about the last Pasuk in Torah? The last Pasuk in Torah says, Ulechol hayad ha-chazaka, the strong hand, Ulechol ha-mora ha-gadol, and all the fearsome acts, asher osa Moshe, that Moshe did, le'enei kol Yisrael, in the eyes of all of Israel. Says Rashi, what was this great thing that Moshe did in the eyes of all of Israel? Says Rashi, shenisol livo, that his heart moved him, lishbor ha-luchot le'eneim, to break the luchos, the first set of luchos, before their eyes. Shenema, because it says, as Moshe Rabbeinu himself testifies, "V'ashavrim, I broke them le'eneichem, before your eyes." V'hiskimo das Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu agreed l'dato to what Moshe did. Shenema, asher shibarta yiyasher kochacha sheshibarta. Shkayach Moshe. Good that you broke it. Said Rav Soloveitchik once, "What's so great about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu has broken the luchos? There are people dancing around an egel. They're dancing around the egel. They want the luchos. What's so great? Such a great act." So he said, "You know what Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of? The same people who are dancing around with the egel. Oh, the luchos. Yeah, they're going to dance around with the luchos and with the egel. And do you know what it's going to be? Exactly what Lavan says in this pasuk: Elokei Avram, the God of Avram, Kodesh, and Elohei Nachor, Chol, Kodesh and Chol, mix them together, make a cholent. That is the destruction of the Jewish people. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of, and that's exactly what Yaakov understands is the kiss of death of a Lavan." A Lavan, I don't know, I somehow or other, maybe it's going a little too far if I said that Evan represents Av and Ben. Lavan maybe represents Lo Ben. The father doesn't have a son, and the son is completely removed and separated and alienated from the father, and the link is broken. There is no longer any chain, and anything you want, you can do. In a moment of passion, and I'm usually accused of that. Next person who tells me I'm passionate, watch it. On my previous visit to Toronto, which was 3 weeks ago, So I met with a group of people, and I said something then that I had never said before. But I'll say it over here. I think I'm in safe territory. Why was it on my mind? Because before I had left on the previous visit to Toronto, I had testified before the Ne'eman Commission. I remember that night I had to get to the airport, and but I was scheduled. The Prime Minister's office had called me. I should come and testify. A group of rabbis were called to testify to say that we're ready to sit and listen to what the conservative and reform representative had to say, and if there's any possibility of arriving at a compromise that does not in any way affect one iota of halacha, and we're ready to listen. In the interests of Jewish unity, B'Vakashah, we will do so. In a sense, I felt that it was a little bit of a bizoyan, the whole business. Rabbi Grossman of Mitol Emek, Sher Yosef Cohen of Haifa, Rabbi Beryl Wein was there. Rabbi Riskin couldn't come, so he sent a letter. I was there. A few others. And we're sort of pleading with our conservative and reform colleagues that, you know, listen, give us another few months. Let's try and work something out, if at all possible. I didn't say there what I said in Toronto. What troubles me more than anything else about all of this is the positions that have been taken by the conservative and reform movement are, in a sense, the greatest and ugliest slap in the face to 3,500 years of Jews, simple Jews, who gave their lives literally for Shabbos, for Hismila. Gemara says, time of wrongdoing. It happened throughout all of history. Jews were burned at the stake. Jews, Lama Tayotzi Litzolev, why are you going out? Ramban brings this medrash. Why are you going out to be crucified? The Jews said, Al Shashamarti as Shabbos, I kept Shabbos. Alma Tayotzi Litzolev, why are you going out to be crucified? Al Shemalti as Bini, because I circumcised my son. And so the Gemara goes on listing all sorts of mitzvahs that people performed, and because they performed these mitzvahs, therefore they were crucified. Crucifixion, by the way, was a Roman means of putting people to death. I don't understand. Why did somebody have to permit themselves to be crucified for Shmira Shabbos? Go be Mechal Shabbos. Aren't they foolish? Isn't that what they're saying? All of the Mesiras Nefesh Jews literally giving their lives for the basic and fundamentals of Judaism. It was all a big waste. What are you talking about? What do you mean you're being crucified by the Romans because you didn't drive to Shul on Shabbos? Drive! Go ahead! What's so wrong? What's so terrible? It makes a mockery! Makes an absolute mockery of 3,500 years of Jews who fulfilled mitzvahs and therefore not only put their lives in great danger, gave their lives. Rabbi Akiva, Kol Yama, Yonisi Mitzvah, Al Pasek Zeh, Masa Yodah, Yavol Yodah, Yakaimenu, when will I be able to fulfill the mitzvah of your Haftat Hashem Alekecho, V'chol Avodcho, V'chol Nafshecho, Afilu Notel L'Nafshecho, even if he takes your life? What do they have to do with foolish Jews? For Presmili, you're going to go give your life? What are you talking about? Yeah, who needs it? Lavan Bike Shlakar Sakol. Lavan is the one who wanted to create that confusion, the mixture of Kodesh and Chol. Luchos and Egel. Bilam. The Gemara says, Mi Birchosov shall also Rosha, from the blessings that Bilam gave, we know what he intended to say. Because the Pasuk says that God turned over all of the curses of Bilam, and what he cursed, what he wanted to curse, God turned it into a blessing. So Mi Birchosov, if you study the blessings of Bilam, then you know what he really had in mind. When he said, Hain Am Levodot Ishgon, a people that dwells alone, do you know what he really meant? He wanted them to be a people that doesn't dwell alone. He wanted them to be a people who are part of the mainstream of every society, the mixture of Kodesh and Chol, until, do you know what ultimately happens? The uniqueness of Jewish identity is erased. You're just another part of the whole mob. Now you know why I got upset some years ago when two of our secular leaders said, Lo od am levadad yishkon. No longer will it be a people that dwells alone. We're going to be part of a greater Middle East. This is a peace process, and we're going to be part of this greater Middle East. Mi birchosov shall also rush from the brachas that were given by love, by Bilam. By the way, that wasn't a mistake when I said Lavan instead of Bilam. Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel says, Min Aram, where does Bilam come from? Aram. Bilam is the reincarnation of Lavan. What he wants is not a nation that lives alone, but a nation in which there is this potent, devastating, deadly mixture of Kodesh and Chol. Elohei Avram, there are some nice things in Torah that go wrong. The God of Avram, fine. Fine, God of Avram. What equally as good is Elohei Nachor, the God of Nachor, Elohei Avim, and you know what? Throw in the God of their fathers, Terach, you understand? Heb Terach. And when he said, Matovu O Halecho Yaakov Mishkinotecha Yisrael, what was he talking about? The famous Rashi. What's so good about the tents of Yaakov? Because he saw that the openings of the tents did not correspond to one another. There was a sense of tznius, the majesty. One did not invade the privacy of another. Do you know what he really wanted? He wanted the tents looking into one another until ultimately it would reach a point that a Jewish child wouldn't know who his father was. And when he saw that he could not succeed that way, do you know what he did? Before he leaves, what's the great advice that he gives to Balak? Eloheihem shel Elu, their God, hates infidelity. He despises adultery. You know what? Just bring that hole into the Jewish camp. And you know what you will have done? You will have accomplished that a Jewish child won't know who his father is. And that's when Zimri goes out and takes Cosby. What they're bringing in is the chol and the tumah into the Jewish tent. That's what he... Where did they go into? Zimri took Cosby into the tent. And Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. By the way, isn't it fascinating that he is described... Who is he described as? Who is the one that kills Bilam? Later it says, you know who's going to kill Bilam? It says in Torah later on. After Pinchas kills Zimri and Cosby, he also kills Bilam in battle, and they describe him as Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, a person who goes directly back to his father and to his grandfather, and there is no separation between them. After Yaakov has spent 14 years in the house of Shem Ve'eva, and he comes finally to Nachor, to Aram, he asks, do you know Lavan, the son of Nachor? Do you know what he's learned in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva? That this Lavan is one who rejects his own father. Who does he relate to? A Nachor. And what does it mean that he relates to a Nachor? You know, it's a nice thing to write about Nachor. Nice for a museum. You know, Bible Lands Museum. Or maybe shrines of the holy book, so the book can be enshrined there. But certainly that the book should influence life out in the street? No. In the shrine of the book, you can read about Shabbos, but Shabbos in the streets? Chassidish. It's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. It's Lavan. He understands that Lavan sees himself as the son of Nachor. He does not see himself as the son of the Tuhem. Lavan has succeeded in cutting himself off from the generations that preceded him. No Tata. And Yaakov is the one who is going to maintain throughout Pachad Aviv Yitzchak. He swears by Pachad Aviv Yitzchak. He brings an Evan for a Matzeva. He is the one to whom Lavan says, Nichsof nichsaft ala beis avicha, you yearn and you long to go to the house of your father. Do you know what the treaty ultimately that's made between the two of them? What kind of treaty is it? There are other treaties that we've read about in Torah up until now. There was a treaty between Avraham and Avimelech. There was a treaty between Yitzchak and Avimelech. All of those were treaties about land, territory, borders. What is it that... What's the treaty that's made here at the end of the Seder between Lavan and Yaakov? What kind of treaty? I have a feeling that the treaty is Lavan sees that his great nemesis is Yaakov. Yaakov is going to remain loyal. You know what he wants? You stay there in your Eretz Yisrael, but don't come to my Aram. In Aram, I'm going to be the Balapas. I believe that's what he says. Before that, Pasuk 53. Eid Hagal Hazeh.
this pile of stones bears testimony. You stay on your side of the gal. I'll stand on my side of the gal. I don't want your tradition and your Judaism and your loyalty to a father's house to invade the precincts of Aram. In Aram, we're going to be Judenrein. We're going to be ethnically cleansed of any kind of Yaakov experience. Because at the end, you know what Lavan really is? One who talks, how is it, blustery? Big talk, but he's frightened of Yaakov. Never saw it that way. I always thought that Yaakov leaves the house of Lavan, in a sense, having been vanquished by Lavan. And you know how I see it now? That Lavan is the one who has been vanquished by Yaakov. He hasn't succeeded. He has not succeeded. Lavan bikesh lakar es hakol. Lavan wanted to destroy everything. And here I feel I have a new reading of the pasuk. Where do we learn that Lavan wanted to destroy everything? Where does it appear in the Haggadah? Because it says in Parshat Kitavo, Arami Oved Avi. How do we learn Pshat? How is it normally? Arami. Lavan wanted to destroy my father. No. Arami Oved Avi. Arami wanted to destroy the concept of Avi. Lavan Arami wanted to destroy the concept of father. Break the tradition. Sever the relationship. Remove the link. I have no tata. You have no tata. Everything begins with me. I do my own thing. And Yaakov swears only by Pachad Aviv Yitzchak. He stands in absolute awe and fear of the father Yitzchak. And that's the Torah that Yaakov is going to teach Yosef. I had asked earlier, why does Yaakov teach all of his Torah to Yosef? Do you know what he's teaching Yosef? The survival mechanisms that he learned in the house of Shem Ve'eva before he went to Laban. He knows that Yosef is going to have to be someplace off in exile. That Yosef is going to need that survival mechanism too. And you know what the survival mechanism of Yosef is? His father. Rashi brings it. The Gemara says it. That at a moment that Yosef was ready to succumb to the temptations of Eshes Petifar, what appeared before him? Dumuz Duyukno Shel Abba. He sees the face of his father Yaakov. And he runs. He flees from before Eshes Potiphar. What was it that Yaakov was able to inject into the every fiber of Yosef's being? Abba, the Tata, Avi, Kachad Yitzchak, Elokei Avi, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avotenu. Lavan is the complete antithesis of this all. The one who emerges unscathed and unharmed, so that next week, Sedra, when he comes toward Esav, Yaakov is able to say, Lavan Garti, I live with Lavan, the Taryak Mitzot Shamati, and I kept Taryak Mitzot. It is therefore this Yaakov who now, as he leaves from the confrontation with Lavan, the angels of God, Vayiv Gavamak, and what does it say? But Yaakov holach ledarko. Yaakov now goes on his own way. And his own way is the one that leads him straight back where? To his father's house. Vayomer Yaakov kasherom. He sees Malach Elakim. Vayikra Shem HaMakom Ahu Machanayim. He's going back to his father's house. That's it.